Hello and welcome to another Trust Me Bro, I Didn't Record This Yesterday episode of Dave Wright's podcast. I'm your host, Dave Wright. Each week here, I like to share one of my short stories and the next chapter from my novel, Soul. As usual, if you would like to know more about this week's chapter, then stick around at the end. This week, we jump back into the Seeker's history as he continues his entertaining spiral of self-destruction. For now, let's get into it. Here is Chapter 7, Finding Steve. Draining the vitamin water, Seeker softly cursed Valkyr. The man had shown up to the skin drum again last night, and they had whiled away the evening and early morning drinking and smoking. At some point, Seeker had mentioned the House of Levi, and Valkyr had jumped at the chance. Once, Valkyr had played a detective in a forgettable straight-to-TV special, and so in their drunken stupor, the idea of being hard-boiled private dicks trying to crack the case of the Mystery Prime had sounded like a great idea. Now, the sun bored straight through his eyes and begun cooking the back of his brain. Seeker regretted everything he'd ever done. Valkyr strode next to him, not showing a flicker of being ill, despite literally drinking himself under the table not 6 hours ago. They were headed to the flophouse that Hansy Pete had told them that Steve liked to crash at.
"How aren't you sick?"
Seeker managed to gargle at Valkyr. The sentence became more English by the time he slurred his way through it. Valkyr kept walking, but turned his head with a smile.
"My ravishing good looks, my friend. I cannot afford to look like..."
He gestured vaguely at the Seeker.
Shut it, Seeker managed. Actually, do you even know where we're going? For some reason, I don't remember much of what Hansy Pete had to say.
Heaving a deep breath after such a long sentence. The taller man shrugged. "Not really. The man with roaming hands said that Steve did not really have a place to stay in general, but there is one house for transients that he likes to frequent, down in Foxwood somewhere." Seeker intelligently added. They continued through the streets towards Foxwood. It was a brilliantly bright day. People were taking their time walking around, enjoying the heat. As they walked, Seeker saw a handful of copies out and about as well. The city was crawling with him. There had not been the mass exodus he kept expecting. Most of them seemed happy to go about whatever their private missions were and be left alone. The more he dwelt on it, the more the House of Levi did seem like a self-help group for the copies that needed something to belong to. What better way to find a group of like-minded individuals than people with literally the same mind? Look how trying to forge his own identity had worked out so far. A constant headache, eyes that would not stop watering, and a hacking cough that refuses to leave him alone. He had a friend though, as unlikely as it seemed. Someone who didn't see the Levi in him, who saw what he was trying to do and seemed to be trying to help in his own way, even if it was just getting tanked each night. At least, he wasn't doing it alone anymore. As Seeker watched Valkyr, he realized the man didn't look at other Levi copies as they walked. Sure, there'd only been three so far, but one in a business suit, hustling along, another cycled past in spandex, which only confirmed that Seeker should never wear that, and the last was just ahead with what looked like a meat pie cart hawking his wares. Valkyr's eyes seemed to pass over them. Was he uncomfortable with seeing other copies, or trying to be sensitive to Seeker, not gawking at them? Considering that the Seeker was already starting to look different than them, not in a good way, more like the haggard uncle at Christmas with no personal space and questionable ethics. Suddenly Valkyr stopped and stared at a noise from ahead. The Seeker followed his gaze and felt ill all over again. The lithe man in the dark blue and green trim running towards them was unmistakable. It was the same man who always showed up in Seeker's dreams when he was sober enough to have them. Levi Prime. Levi Prime skidded into the intersection and cast about him, obviously searching for something or someone. Valkyr and Seeker were close enough to hear Levi Prime say to himself, "Where the hell could he hide around here?" Of course, Levi Prime would not come down into this area of town of his own choice. Too run down, too dirty for him, Seeker thought with a snarl. Must be playing at the hero, chasing some poor bastard who's gone to ground. Could be anyone. Could be another copy who'd already finished his mission and didn't want to be disappeared. Levi Prime was still searching around, but was now looking at the faces of all the people near him. Most people were head down, exuding the "don't look at me, leave me the fuck alone" vibe, usually reserved for beggars. No one in this area wanted to stand out. Seeker felt a jolt run through him as his eyes met Levi Prime. However, there was no flash of recognition. How much had he damaged himself, Seeker thought, if he didn't even realize who I am? It would have been a liberating thought if it was not blown clear out of his head by what he saw next. Levi Prime clapped eyes on the Meat Pie Man, the copy who obviously knew this place. The man stood there in shock at the contact. He didn't move, even when Levi Prime strode towards him. Valkyr whispered, "What does he want?" The Seeker's soaked brain was racing ahead. He knew in a flash what was happening, but couldn't bring himself to do anything. What could he do? Cry out and draw attention to him? How would that help? Levi Prime stopped in front of the Pie Man. "You know this area, right?" And the man hesitated. In that moment, he sealed his fate. The Seeker was mentally screaming at him, "Lie, you idiot! How can you be so stupid?" It was too late. Levi Prime saw the truth in the man's eyes. With a casual, almost sensual gesture, the Prime reached over and laid his hand on the Pie Man's shoulder. With that simple gesture, the Pie Man, who ran his own business, ran his own life, who was trying to make it in this fucked up new world he had found himself in, was gone. With his newfound knowledge, Levi Prime grinned and was off running. He was gone in seconds. Seeker threw up. Valkyr stood there stunned. Slowly everyone else went back to normal, ignoring the two men and trying to pretend that nothing had happened. Maybe to them, nothing had. Valkyr managed to find the words Seeker was hoping he would. "I need another fucking drink." That was Chapter 7, Finding Steve. I've been stuck on this chapter for a long time. I knew vaguely what was going to happen in this chapter, but could never get anywhere with it. It was actually one of the last ones I ever wrote a draft for. It was finished after I'd already completed the story. I knew in this chapter I was going to try and show the acceptance of supers and their bullshit lack of repercussions because, let's be fair, that is exactly what would happen. I also wanted to show Levi Prime being the piece of shit that he really is. He is not a good guy. I didn't want to paint him that way after the reader gets to see what happened to his son. Simply because something horrible happened to him does not give him a free pass. He's not evil in his mind, he's fighting the good fight. But to do that, he casually murders another person for knowledge. He doesn't see the copies as real people, they are an extension of him. He is the Prime after all. I also wanted to show the Seeker has been so thoroughly destroying himself that in a rush, Levi Prime does not even recognize him anymore. If you have never seen it firsthand, let me tell you, it's amazing how quick someone can fall apart, mentally and physically, into someone else. The Seeker is fighting his own internal demons and losing. He is using alcohol and cigarettes to escape and punish his mind and body. It's not healthy or smart, but that doesn't make him weak. I don't see the Seeker as a self-insert, however, I think I can write him so easily and express his pain, self-destruction, and determination, as I can draw on my history to try and bring him to life in a real way, instead of a cliché or, "Oh, look at the suicidal sufferer, isn't it noble," that I see so often. He doesn't need love or to stop thinking about it or think happy thoughts and it will all get better. He hates his mind and it hates him. This is a fight to the death. He will find a way through this, but it will not be easy, and if his way out is suicide, then so be it. That does not make him a lesser person. You can see why it was a hard chapter to get done. I wanted the Seeker to see his fears realized and yet keep fighting. It might have been a little too close to home. Well, that's all for this week. Don't forget I have a Patreon up if you want to throw some support my way. You can find the details on my website, davewrights.com. That's Dave, WRIGHTS.com. I would like to end this episode with a piece of writing that helped me when I was going through a major depressive episode, and it really encapsulates what I feel is a great way to think about suicide. I have tried to find the original author, but my Googling failed me. Anyway, I hope to see you all next week. Take care. Author unknown. I don't like the phrase, a cry for help. I just don't like how it sounds. When somebody says to me, I'm thinking about suicide, I have a plan, I just need a reason to not do it, the last thing I see is helplessness. I think your depression has been beating you up for years. It's called you ugly and stupid and pathetic and a failure for so long that you've forgotten that it's wrong. You don't see any good in yourself and you don't have any hope. But still, here you are. You've come over to me, banged on my door and said, hey, staying alive is really hard right now. Just give me something to fight with. I don't care if it's a stick. Give me a stick and I will stay alive. How is that helpless? I think that's incredible. You're like a Marine, trapped for years behind enemy lines. Your gun has been taken away. You're out of ammo. You're malnourished. And you've probably caught some kind of jungle virus that's making you hallucinate giant spiders. And you are still going, give me a stick. I am not dying out here. A cry for help makes it sound like I'm supposed to take pity on you. But you don't need my pity. This isn't pathetic. This is the will to survive. This is how humans live long enough to become the dominant species. With no hope, running on nothing, you're ready to cut through 100 miles of hostile jungle with nothing but a stick, if that's what it takes to get to safety. All I'm doing is handing out sticks. You're the one staying alive.